Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Jesus Strong. This is Brian Peckham from Whitman, Massachusetts. And that's when Brother David would say, and this is Brother David Valdez from Lutz, Florida. But Brother David is not with us tonight. He isn't working. He said he needed some alone time with the Lord. So we're going to give him that night off from tonight, so hopefully he'll be back with us next week. So before then, I'm going to, before I do opening prayer, I have an announcement that I would like to share with you all. And it's kind of a sad announcement as well. Many of you know, Brother David Valdez and I, she was a guest on our show a while back, Sheila Schuler Coleman. Her father, Robert Schuler, went home to be with the Lord the other day. And we know he's in glory. He did a lot of great things. So before I begin tonight's show, I want to pray for Pastor Sheila and her family. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, I pray for the Schuler family, Lord God. Lord, I pray right now that you will give Pastor Sheila and her family the strength, Lord God, as they go through this time of loss, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you will give them peace and comfort, Lord God. And that, Lord, I just pray that you will just wrap your arms of love around each and every one of the Shula family members, Lord God. And Lord, I know that there was some family tension at times, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray right now that you will bring peace into that situation, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that they'll be able to come with peace with one another and love upon one another during this time. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, Father. And Lord God, I just pray for tonight's show, Lord God. Lord, I pray right now that you will give each and every listener, Lord God, the ears to hear and the eyes to see what it is that you're revealing to them, Father. Lord, use me to minister to your people, and I will give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, Father, in your name. Amen. I figured I'd just throw everything all in there. All right, well, tonight we are going to be talking about the seven last words of Jesus when he was on the cross. There are seven words, the last seven expressions of Jesus Christ, which he uttered on the cross at Calvary, in Golgotha, in Hebrew, according to John chapter 19, verse 17. And it meant the place of the skull, which we see in Mark chapter 15, verse 22. The testimony of a dying man holds more value in the court. So the words of Christ on Calvary carry legal weight. In other words, they are true. Supposedly, crucifixion happened on a Friday. We call it Good Friday. There are seven expressions traditionally attributed to Jesus during his crucifixion, gathered from the four Gospels. Three of the sayings appear exclusively in the Gospel of Luke, and three appear exclusively in the Gospel of John. The other saying appears both in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew. In Mark and Matthew, Jesus cries out to God. In Luke, he forgives his killers, reassures the good thief, and commends his spirit to the Father. In John, he speaks to his mother and says he thirsts, and declares the end of his earthly life. The first word that Jesus said on the cross, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus says this first word only in the Gospel of Luke, just after he was crucified by the soldiers on Golgotha, with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. The timing of this suggests that Jesus asks his Father to primarily forgive his enemies, the soldiers who have scourged him, mocked him, tortured him, and who have just nailed him to the cross. Even though he was dying on the cross, his focus seems to be the other people. The other people are the Jews, Gentiles, all of us, not just the Romans who crucified him, his disciples who deserted him. Forgiveness dominates his life and his preaching. We see it in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And he tells it to Peter, his disciple, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. I'm not going to read the verses because we're pressed for time here. You can look them up at your convenience. And he speaks of forgiveness at the Last Supper, which we see in Matthew chapter 26, 27, and 28. And he forgives the paralytic at Capernaum in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And what I talked about on last week's show, the adulteress caught in the act of adultery in John the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 11. You can go back and listen to last week's show about that. After resurrection, he commissions his disciples to forgive in John chapter 20, verses 22 through 23. Forgiveness flows in his blood, so we also can appreciate its importance on our lives as well. The second word that Jesus said on the cross, in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, it says, he said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. In Luke the 23rd chapter, verses 39 through 42, this is what it reads, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here we see how one thief mocks Jesus, but the other one asks for forgiveness and receives it. The second word is about salvation with forgiveness. Underlying it, here we see salvation through faith alone, not works as the thief had. No time for good works, not even for baptism. He just believed and was saved. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, which you see in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, also in Galatians 3:11 and Habakkuk 2:4, Hebrews 10:38. The third word we find in John chapter 19, verses 26 through 20 and 27. Jesus said to his mother, Woman, this is your son. Then he said to the disciple, This is your mother. Jesus was with his mother at the beginning of his ministry in Cana, and also now at the end of his public ministry at the Golgotha. There are four at the foot of the cross, according to the Bible, in John the 19th chapter, verse 25. And it says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. His third word is addressed to Mary and John, the only eyewitness of the gospel writers. The third word is about affection or love he has for the mother who gave birth to him on earth. He is doing his duty as her eldest son, making sure her needs are met after he is dead and gone. The fourth word, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which we see in the Gospel of Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 46, and also in Mark, the 15th chapter, verse 34. Matthew 27, verse 46 reads, and I'm reading from New King James Version, And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, Lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in Mark, chapter 15, verse 34, and it says, And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Same thing. This is only the expression of Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. Both Gospels relate that it was in the ninth hour, after 3 hours of darkness, that Jesus cried out this fourth word. Here we see as a completely human, with no God part in him, as he feels loneliness, deserted by his Father and the Holy Spirit, not to mention his earthly companions, the apostles. As if to emphasize his loneliness, Jesus feels separated from his Father. Here he is now, all alone, and he must face death by himself. His fourth word expresses his loneliness and expresses pain of rejection by everybody, including God the Father. His fourth word is the opening line of Psalm 22. In Psalm 22 of David made a striking prophecy of the crucifixion of the Messiah at a time when crucifixion did not exist. They have pierced my feet. They pierced my hands and my feet. They have numbered all my bones, which we see in the 16th and 17th verse of Psalm 22. The psalm also continues, "They divide my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots," which we see in verse 18. It is by his death that we are redeemed. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and the human race, Christ Jesus himself, human, who gave himself as ransom for all, which we see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. The fifth word, which we see in John chapter 19, verse 28, "I thirst." The fifth word of Jesus is his only human expression of his physical suffering. Jesus is now in shock. The wounds afflicted upon him in the scourging, the crowning with thorns, and the nailing upon the cross are now taking their toll. Especially after losing blood on the 3-hour walk through the city of Jerusalem to Golgotha on the way of the cross. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. And also, like it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "By his wounds you have been healed." And I want to point out something here. A few years ago, I was a guest speaker for a Good Friday service, and we did the seven words of Jesus. And I had to do the fifth word, which was, "I thirst." If you read in one of the chapters of the Gospel of John, Jesus goes up to the Samaritan woman and says that he is the living water. And in John chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus says, "I thirst." Well, how can Jesus be thirsty when he says, "I am the living water"? You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was spiritually thirsty. He was spiritually thirsty for your soul. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you all right now, Jesus is thirsty for your soul. He is thirsty for your soul, and he's waiting for you to give him your cup and to say, "Lord, here I am, fill me up." That is prophetic, ladies and gentlemen. He's the living water. Amen. When you come to Jesus, you come to him empty. And when you come to Jesus, he turns your emptiness into fullness, and your water just keeps running over. He's thirsty for your soul. So give him your cup to fill. Amen. The sixth word we see in John chapter 19, verse 30. He said, "It is finished." When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and handed over the Spirit. As they say, he came to die. His mission is finished. He came from heaven for this purpose only, to provide salvation for the perishing human race. His birth and victory over the powers of darkness are clearly mentioned in the Bible. God has made a promise to the mankind when Adam and Eve failed him at the Garden of Eden. God could not disown his own creation, so he came with a redemptive plan. And Jesus fulfilled that redemptive plan of God for man, which we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." When Jesus died, he handed over the Spirit. Jesus remains in control to the end, and it is he who handed over his Spirit. And the seventh and final word, which we see in Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 46. "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last." The seventh word of Jesus is from the Gospel of Luke and is directed to the Father in heaven. Just before he dies, Jesus recalls Psalm 31:5, where it says, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord. Faithful God, he died at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about the same time as the Passover lambs were slaughtered in the temple. Christ became the Paschal, or Passover lamb, as noted by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been crucified. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. The innocent lamb was slain for our sins so that we might be forgiven. Jesus fulfilled his mission. They are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith, which we see in Romans chapter 3. Verses 24 and 25. Jesus practiced what he preached in John chapter 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus laid down his life for you so that you can have eternal life. Do you want this eternal life? Then all you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is just pray this prayer, believing in your heart. Accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior today. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and all you got to do is just pray this prayer and believe in your heart, and Jesus will come into your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. Well, we have run out of time for now, and on behalf of David Valdez and myself, we both want to wish you a very happy Easter. And this is Brian Peckham coming to you from Whitman, Massachusetts, saying good night. And God bless. And I want to close with this song by Carrie Joby, Oh, the Blood. God bless. Happy Easter, and we will see you next week.